Here's something nobody wants to admit at dinner parties. Most men watch pornography. Yet we've built an entire cultural narrative around the idea that doing so makes you damaged, dangerous, or diseased. This disconnect between what people actually do and what they're told they should feel about it creates a psychological prison where natural curiosity becomes evidence of moral failure. The real damage often comes not from pornography itself, but from the shame we wrap around it. Studies reveal a fascinating pattern. Men who believe they're porn addicts experience significant distress regardless of how much they actually watch. The label becomes the problem. By telling yourself you're an addict, you surrender agency and transform a common behavior into a pathology. Meanwhile, guilt and shame operate differently. One says, "I did something bad." The other whispers, "I am bad." That distinction matters enormously for mental health. For most of history, sexual knowledge was gatekept by wealth and power. Private collections, exclusive brothels, erotic art accessible only to elites. The internet demolished these barriers overnight. Someone in rural Kansas suddenly had the same access as a Manhattan millionaire, fundamentally redistributing sexual power. The effects proved measurable and surprising. Countries with greater pornography access show lower sexual assault rates. Some studies document reductions up to 40%. LGBTQ+ individuals report online content helped them understand their identities years before they could safely discuss them. Sex education resources emerged alongside adult content, creating comprehensive learning environments previous generations never had. This democratization stripped away romanticized mystery, but eliminated ignorance that caused unwanted pregnancies, infections, and traumatic first experiences. Research reveals women have stronger physiological responses to explicit content than men, yet men report more problems with it, suggesting societal suppression of male sexuality drives the distress, not the content itself. Pornography has become a proxy battlefield for deeper tensions about sexual power. The film Don John captured something real, how easily accessible sexual content threatens traditional dynamics, where women historically controlled sex as a valuable commodity. When gratification is freely available online, old power structures crack. Critics claim pornography causes objectification, but this conflates normal sexual attraction with harmful dehumanization. Momentary focus on physical pleasure during sex is natural. It becomes problematic only when permanent and devoid of empathy. The panic about pornography rewiring brains like drugs lacks scientific support. Yes, brains change with repetitive activity, learning piano, playing chess, or watching explicit content, but research can't determine whether pornography changes brains or whether certain brain characteristics draw people to it. Women have complained about sexually clumsy men for millennia. Marie Stopes wrote about it in 1918. The fundamental issue isn't pornography, it's communication and reciprocity between partners. Good sex requires conversation, not mind reading. Most pornography conflicts stem from poor communication rather than the behavior itself. Many men maintain secrecy until discovered, transforming normal behavior into betrayal through concealment alone. Healthy partnerships balance shared values with respecting differences, including some sexual privacy. Women's concerns are legitimate. They worry about body comparisons, competing with performers, exploitation, and what consumption means about their relationship. The issue becomes problematic when pornography feels like rejection, not that you've watched it before, but that you still need it now. Restricting pornography doesn't prevent infidelity. Research shows that controlling someone's sexuality typically decreases relationship satisfaction while increasing interest in extramarital relationships. Ironically, pornography may actually reduce infidelity by providing an outlet for novelty without breaking agreements. The solution isn't policing consumption, but building honest communication about desires, boundaries, and what each person needs to feel valued. The core problem in pornography debates is forgetting it's fantasy-like action movies showing impossible stunts or romantic comedies depicting unrealistic courtship. Our fear of pornography reflects deeper anxiety about sexual fantasies and pleasure itself. Without proper education, people struggle to distinguish between fantasy, pornography, and real sexual experiences. Here's an uncomfortable truth. Nancy Friday's research revealed that ordinary women fantasize about taboo subjects, including group sex, incest, and rape scenarios. The success of 50 Shades of Grey confirmed this. Yet male fantasies face harsher judgment, perpetuating the harmful stereotype that men can't control their impulses. Both genders experience sexual fluidity. Strictly straight or gay individuals are actually rare. Anonymous viewing data reveals many straight men enjoy transgender pornography, possibly combining multiple arousal triggers. Internet pornography is dominated by scenes showing one woman with multiple men, despite most men fantasizing about threesomes with two women. This relates to sperm competition theory. Watching multiple male scenarios triggers stronger ejaculatory responses, likely due to evolutionary reproductive competition. Research shows 60 to 75% of women admit enjoying forced sex fantasies, with significant percentages of men sharing similar interests. However, consuming such content can increase violence risk in men already predisposed to aggression, who use substances regularly and harbor anger toward women. Context and predisposition matter enormously. When men feel they're watching too much, it's usually because they're overusing pornography as a coping mechanism while neglecting self-care. Rather than quitting cold turkey, which typically fails and strengthens the behavior, try setting specific rules, tracking usage to gradually reduce consumption, and filling time with other activities. Understanding pornography's function is crucial. Is it relieving boredom, managing stress, providing unavailable experiences? Despite claims from unqualified internet gurus, pornography doesn't cause erectile dysfunction. Penises naturally don't always achieve full erection. That's normal. Erections require relaxation, which becomes difficult under performance anxiety. A genuine pornography-related issue is delayed ejaculation from the death grip, masturbating with tighter stimulation than a partner's body can provide. The solution is gradually loosening your grip. Society accepts exercise as stress relief, but questions using sex similarly. Men typically view sex pragmatically, as fun, stress relief, or distraction. Research shows people using more pornography are often dealing with more stress and depression. They turn to pornography after feeling miserable, not the reverse. Sex and pornography effectively quiet parts of our brain, similar to how television temporarily deactivates self-regulation centers. Creating ethical pornography requires listening to performers and researchers rather than fear-driven critics. Performers face real dangers from obsessed fans who dehumanize them, fueled by society's shame-based attitudes. Identifying ethical content takes effort. There's no universal labeling system. Paying directly for content increases the likelihood it's legal and ethical. Major studios typically ensure compliance and often include performer interviews discussing consent. Ethical pornography isn't necessarily nice. It can be rough or kinky if performers consent. The key is verifiable consent and fair compensation. Consumers drive change through financial choices. Just as demand for organic food transformed agriculture, viewer preferences can reshape pornography production. The industry responds to revenue shifts. When ethical producers succeed financially, others follow. We must move beyond scapegoating pornography to address deeper issues. Comprehensive sex education, gender differences, sexual diversity, and emotional coping. The goal isn't eliminating pornography, but making it ethical while helping people use it responsibly. The question isn't whether people will seek sexual content, but whether we'll create a culture where they can do so without shame, with ethical awareness, and with honest communication about its impact on relationships and themselves.